Now, if any of you are cradle Anglicans, meaning you were born into a family that was worshiping in an Anglican church, you would have grown up listening to that gospel passage at every Eucharist. At every Eucharist, I'll just have to read it here. Just let me find it. Naturally. Our Lord Jesus Christ said, "Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord. And thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy mind, with all thy strength. This is the first and great commandment, and the second is like unto it. Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets." So we would have grown up listening to that at every Eucharist. It was the part that started the service off. It's called the summary of the laws. And it's to get our minds wrapped around love and service. And so starting off with that gospel passage, it brought back a lot of memories. A lot of memories of being in the church choir, and because that's the only place my mom could keep a handle on me. And after services, throwing paper darts off of the gallery and seeing how far I could fly them. There might even still be one in the rafters. I doubt it, but it still might be there. But those were the kinds of things, the memories that sort of flooded through. And I said to myself, you know, it was great growing up and remembering now how that passage affected my life. Because it brings things so much closer together in our lives. But today's gospel gives us the background to that phrase. I mean, it comes across, you know, love thy Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy mind, and with all thy strength. The second is like unto it, love thy neighbor as thyself. You know, it's condensed during the Eucharist. But here we hear how the background to it was. There were the Pharisees yet again for the fourth time trying to get rid of Jesus. They had tried three other times and had not been successful, and this was their fourth attempt. So what they did was they got a religious lawyer, and they said, pose a question to Jesus that he won't be able to answer. And so he steps forward out of the crowd and says to Jesus, "Jesus, what is the greatest commandment that we should follow?" Now, you could probably have heard a pin drop in that temple at that time. Why? Because there were 613 laws or commandments, some great, some small, some big, some little, 613. And Jesus was being asked to pick one, which would have said 612 really don't need to be followed. Well, really 611, because he said the second commandment. So you've got that, all that background. But Jesus goes right to the Old Testament, to Deuteronomy, and says, love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, and with all thy mind. And it's only in Mark that we get the strength part. So I don't know why Matthew didn't throw that in, but Mark does. But the bottom line is, we've got these three images of heart, soul, and mind. Was it an accident that he said that? No. Think about it. The first thing is your heart. Love the Lord thy God with your heart. Be passionate about loving God. Imagine that, being passionate about loving God. And then the soul, or the spiritual side of us, giving everything we have spiritually to loving God. And then finally, giving everything intellectually that we have, everything that our mind stores up for the love of God. So you see, it's not an accident that we have heart, soul, and mind. It all brings about one thing, totally giving ourselves to God in love. And then we have the second part, the second commandment, love thy neighbor as ourself. Now, it's a lot easier to love God. It's a lot easier. It can be very difficult loving your neighbor. But if you look at it and you say, you know, I was made in the image of God, and I'm glad he broke the mold, because you can imagine two of me. He made you in his image. which means that when we love our neighbor, we are loving God as well through loving the image that God has created in us. Think about that. God creates each one of us, and to love your neighbor is to love God. And so you see how those two commandments are linked together. But you and I are a people that just can't handle simple things. We have to make them complicated. You know, sometimes you look at, like, I'll be tinkering with a lawnmower, and I'll think to myself, a rocket scientist did not make this, so it must come apart logically. It's got to. But no, there's always a trick. Somebody in there said, I'm going to change the screw from 1 inch to 2 inch, making it more complicated. When we lived in Kingston, I said to Mary Lynn, I said, you know, Mary Lynn, I think we should have a screen door on our main door. I think we should have a screen door. A, it'll let more light into the house, and B, it'll slow the kids down from getting out onto the street. Great idea, safety first. I knew I could sell that. So I measure it all up, go to the hardware store, pick up a nice sliding door, bring it, get it out of the package, lay it on the front lawn, look at it, take out the directions, and it might as well have been in Chinese. They were using a vocabulary that I had never heard of before. They were talking about sills and headers and jams and a whole host of stuff. I didn't know what they were talking about. And of course, it would just simply say, place the header on A and B, but no picture. So I couldn't even do the picture thing. They had made it so complicated. What I was expecting was, take the door, put it into the slot, screw it in, and call it a day. I thought that's how it worked. But no, they made it so complicated that, well, you know, long story short, this was before they had the University of YouTube. So I actually had to go to my neighbor and say, you know, can you give me a hand about this? And he looked at it and said, well, here, let's just put it in. Let's make it simple. Let's just put it in and screw it in. Yeah, it worked. House didn't fall down. The door stayed up, and we were posted out of there the next year. So I imagine the door stayed. But we make things complicated, even though it's so simple. Our faith journeys are incredibly simple at the basic level. Love God and love your neighbor. That's all we're asked to do, but we make it so complicated. And so when we look at this, it's a reminder of how easy our faith journeys can be if we just simply throw off all the complex things that we have added. Now, Jesus doesn't end there. He poses a question to the Pharisees. He says, listen, what about Messiah? Who do you think the Messiah is? But what I want to focus in on is not so much that the Pharisees couldn't answer the question. It's what they said at the end. The Pharisees no longer dared ask a question. The Pharisees no longer dared ask any questions of Jesus. They were afraid of being embarrassed. That's it. They were afraid to be yet again embarrassed. But you and I are called to ask questions. You and I are to ask questions of our faith, of each other, and our journeys, so that we all grow together. And that's what's so neat about this passage. That if you look at it and you say, okay, there's the love thy God, and there's love thy neighbor, but it ends up saying, we have to ask questions. We grow through asking questions. Our faith expands. You know, when we ask the question, the person who answers the question also grows. That's how it works. You ask a question, the other person answers the question, we both grow together. And so that's what I'd like you to think about this week. Think about making our faith journeys simple. Make them simple, less complex. And for sure, ask questions of ourselves, of each other, so that we all grow in our faith journey. And by doing so, the world around us can't help but grow as well. Amen.